I'll be reading out of Luke today, chapter 10. It's going to be verses 25 through 29. And behold, a lawyer stood up to put him to the test, saying, "Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He said to him, "What is written in the law? How do you read it?" And he answered, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself." And he said to him, "You have answered correctly. Do this, and you will live." But he, desiring to justify himself, said to Jesus, "And who is my neighbor?" You know, I've noticed that we actually often act just like this lawyer did in our lives. I have two daughters. They're Adeline's 4 and Amelia's just turned 3 not long ago. And they usually go through these phases where they like have a new character or cartoon or toy that's their absolute favorite, and it's the only thing they like. So a few months ago, Amelia was going through a phase of horses. She still is, actually. And in particular, she was obsessed with this cartoon called Spirit. It's about like a girl and her horse. She could probably watch this cartoon 20 times if she had her way, but that was her favorite thing of all. So in their minds, in my kids' minds, anything that's not a cartoon that's ever played on the TV is bad. They think as long as it's cartoon characters, it's okay, but anything else is bad. So one day when I was watching some show, I don't remember what it was, but Amelia comes up to me and she sits down in my lap and like snuggles up to me. So, I mean, I know that usually means she wants something from me when she does this. But before I could even say anything, she goes, "Dad, I don't want to watch a cartoon." I'm sitting there thinking, like, "You're 2 years old, you really don't have a say in any of this anyway." But she says, "Dad, I don't want to watch a cartoon. Let's watch something bad about a horse." So we watched Spirit. And even though she was only 2 years old, she had already learned that if she pretends to want what I want, that in the end she's going to get what she wants. And I think that sometimes we take the same approach with God. I know I've noticed in my own life, we pray, "Lord, let your will be done," but when we check our schedules, there's really no time for his will to be done at all. We're too busy with our daily lives and everything going on. And in James chapter 1, verse 22, we read, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." And in verse 27 farther down, James says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." You know, when I read these verses, I'm prone to say, "Well, what does it mean, orphans and widows? I don't really know any of them. There aren't any people around like that around State College. I mean, this is Happy Valley after all. There's nobody in real need here. Who could I possibly visit or who could I possibly help that's in need around me?" But when I started looking it up, did you know that there are actually more than 120 kids in Centre County that don't have families? There are 73 homeless people around here, and there's 175 churches. But how can we help all these people? That was the question. What is the solution to this problem that we're facing? And when I learned about all these people in need, and I read passages like this, that it's our duty to help these people, I mean, I start thinking that how could I ever do any of this? This is too hard. I don't have the resources. I don't have the means. I don't even have the spiritual growth to really help anybody. I'm having a hard time helping myself. You know, and yeah, I'm just thinking it's way too hard and I can't do it. I mean, I'm just trying not to eat carbs and that's a job in itself after all. And then I remembered Paul and Silas in Acts 17 when I read about them. In Acts 17, verse 6, the Jews are talking about Paul and Silas, and they say the following about them. They say, "These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also." And I was thinking, how did these two guys do it? They're just two guys. I mean, Paul hated the Christians, the early Christians. He hated anybody that prophesied Christ, and he persecuted and killed lots of people that were following Christ. So why would he ever want to, or how would he even go against all these Jewish people in charge of that church back then? Why would he do that? And Silas wasn't a powerful government leader or anything either. He was just He was part of the church, he was a leader in the church, but he wasn't anybody influential when it comes to government or anything. So I was just thinking, how could these two guys possibly turn the world upside down for some of the highest leaders of their time? And if we take a look at Paul's life, earlier on in his life, there's a time that completely changed him. And that made him the man that turned the world upside down. It's the time when he saw Jesus on the road. This time, it wrecked his life. He didn't know what to do. He was blind. And it changed everything about him. But it also gave him the power to proclaim Jesus to everyone that he could. And a similar situation actually happened with pretty much all of Jesus' disciples. When Jesus got arrested, they all ran away. Peter even denied him. But when Jesus resurrected and Jesus came back and they saw Jesus, it gave them a supernatural power. It gave them a power that most people can only imagine. They began a first century church and they reached thousands of people. And thousands of people repented and came to Christ because of these people. And now I'm convinced that if we were to seek Jesus, if we cling to Jesus and we just strive to know him and come to him in everything, that he will give us the power, he'll give us the wisdom, and he'll give us the opportunity to stop making these excuses like the lawyer did, to stop looking for a way out of doing what he tells us to do and to actually change the world around us. I know that around Center County, there's at least over 100,000 people that are non-believers. There's a lot of people of different backgrounds, different nationalities, and different other faiths that they believe in. But there's a lot of people that are actually searching, that they don't know where their place is in this world. And I think that if we just put everything aside and we just cling to Jesus and just remember what he did for us and that he will give us the power to do everything, we could actually reach all these people around us. And the thing is, God doesn't actually need us to do his work for him. He will do his work, I mean, whether we join him or not. It's not like he won't be able to do what he was going to do if we decide that we don't want to do anything. He's all-powerful and he's almighty, so he doesn't actually need the help of us or me or anybody for that matter. But wouldn't it be cool if we could take part in what Jesus and God and what God is doing in our community, in our neighborhoods, and for those people around us, if we could take part in it and actually change the lives of everybody around the Happy Valley area? Amen.